Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Oh, hello.
Sean Priest.
Hey.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hi there.
Hey. Welcome along to another Tech Talk. This is the technology show that talks about technology sometimes. With me, as always, are my guests. Sean Priest is here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen Scott. It's so good to be here.
It is, at our age, quite frankly, nice to be anywhere, isn't
quite
it?
Quite right.
Also, Tim Schwartz is back with us. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. It is nice to be alive, isn't it?
It is. You know, it is. And it's, yeah, that's quite deep to get into at the start of the show, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice to be alive. Yeah. I woke up this morning. That was the best I could have hoped for, is the standard I generally set for myself, too. Yes, hello. Welcome along to another tech show. Listen, so much to talk about this week, guys, because we were waiting for an Amazon event to happen. And we're like, yeah. It's just, you know, at some point, maybe near the end of the month, it was rumoured it'll happen. And it's happened.
Sneaky, sneaky Amazon. Oh, and it was better, wait for it, than the Apple event. That's right, I said it.
Wow.
It's kind of true.
Hang on a minute. By Jove. Oh, I'm going into my my full goon show mode here. By Jove. No, that's shocking. How dare you say such a thing, Sean Priest? I'm going to get you to qualify that statement later.
Easy.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, so what we do know is that Amazon brought out a whole bunch of new products. We're going to talk about that. Also, my new iPhone's here.
Old news, boring.
That was so last
probably
week.
Probably already in the drawer.
Yeah. I also have my new Apple Watch, but the question is, what am I more excited by, my Apple Watch or my iPhone XS? Anyway, we'll get into all of that. Plus, we've got your emails coming up. So much to get through on today's Tech Talk. So yes, hello, welcome to another episode of Tech Talk, where we are going to talk a lot about what happened with Amazon this week. I know Sean is incredibly excited about one particular thing that's come out, aren't you?
No, wrong, not just one, all of them. It was amazing. I loved it. Amazon are the new Apple. There, I've said it again.
Pushing.
I don't even get that, to be honest, but okay. Well, look, we'll get into that. We'll get into all of that because I know Tim's got some views as well on this. I am sure I certainly do, and I'm sure we're going to have a bit of a debate on this. But before we get into the Amazon stuff, let's start off with some of the emails, shall we?
Email. We get email.
Oh, yeah.
We get your email every day.
Why is there a doorbell?
Here's your mail today.
Nobody knows. Right, okay. Let's get into the emails. Chris is here. Hi, Chris.
Hey, hello.
Hello, Chris.
The doorbell marks my arrival, don't you know?
That's what it is. You ringing the bell to get into the Tech Talk studio. Is that what it is?
That's the theory.
Yeah.
I didn't really make this jingle.
No.
Put this one on me.
Don't put it on me. I don't know who came up with that thing, but, you know, it works. I like it.
Well, I come in through the door of which is bell I have just rung with an email from Gordon. It says,
that's the weirdest introduction long to an email I've ever heard. Yeah.
Hi guys, just listened to the podcast and felt I should respond to the question about Twitter image descriptions, as this is one of my hobby horses. First of all, you do not need to turn on image descriptions if you don't add pictures to your tweets. Your screen reader should detect any description another user has typed. Of course, if you are going to add pictures, then please turn it on. The big problem is that so few people know about this feature, so don't add descriptions. It's very frustrating, and I often point out to people to encourage them to turn on and use the feature. However, if you have Seeing AI installed on your iPhone or iPad, you can get an idea of a picture in Twitter. Here's how. Open the tweet, double tap the picture to open in full size, then swipe to more actions. In there, you will find a button called Recognize with Seeing AI. You may need to hunt for it the first time, but it is possible to move it further up the list of buttons in the More Actions screen. It takes a few seconds, but it will usually read any text in the picture and also try to give you an idea of what the picture shows. It's not perfect by any means, but it's better than nothing. It does recognise faces of well-known people, but it rarely tells you what they are doing, just that they are in the picture. The best thing is to keep spreading the word about image descriptions, which give more detail and help people who do not have seeing AI. Hope that helps. From Gordon.
No, I really like that one, the seeing AI thing. That makes total sense. I didn't actually know that. So thanks for that, Gordon. I've got to say, why isn't it on by default? If the alternate text or image description field was there for everyone, then I think a lot of people would use it. The fact that it's off by default makes no sense to me.
Yeah, this has bothered me for a long time. This is one of my little pet peeves as well. I know, Stephen, you did a wonderful review of this that's on the Tech Talk feed right now. I wrote an article about it on lifeafterblindness.com a while ago.
Plug.
And, well, I got to once in a while. And
he's allowed.
You know, this is a pet peeve because it should be on by default. And I think it was me last week who, I didn't mean to say this, but I inferred or implied that it had to be on in order to get the description. And that is not true, like Gordon said. Even if you don't have the captioning function turned on, if somebody has captioned an image, you will get that description with voiceover. So you don't have to have it on. But yes, it should be on by default for everyone, whether you're captioning or not. So if you add an image, it should just be there. This makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand in some ways why some features, like, for example, if you want audio descriptions on your iPhone, say you download a video or you watch Netflix or whatever, and you want it on by default, then you have to go in and set that in advance. I get why that's off by default, because not everyone wants that. That's fair. But when it comes to this, there's no benefit to it not being turned on by default. It doesn't change anything for anybody. The only person that benefits when it's on is blind people using VoiceOver. So it makes no sense. But I didn't know that, and I wonder if that works with Facebook as well. I'd be interested to know. Because
Facebook right now can describe images to an extent better than Twitter does. And I believe in the last week or so, I did see an article where Facebook is working on meme detection. So they will be releasing that, I think, soon, or slowly pushing that out here soon, where if you have a meme or any image that has text in it, Facebook is going to start giving voiceover that written description. It will get that text and let you read that aloud. But their image detection isn't bad as far as describing what is in an image, if it's a tree or outdoors or whatever the image has in it. But it's not as good as captioning it on its own. And that isn't in Facebook yet, as far as I know, to actually caption an image of your own, you know, your own accord. But their descriptions aren't bad. And like I said, if this meme detection comes out soon, that'll be very helpful for getting text.
Definitely. Now that's brilliant. Gordon, thank you for emailing in with that, because I have to say, you know, it proves once again that our listeners know far more than we do. But no, this is great. You know, I love that we share this stuff, because I would never have known that without, I mean, no. It's one of those things you'd have to search to find. You'd have to know it was there, or at least know how to get to the functions. No, great. Thank you for that. Right. Okay. What else have we got, Chris?
Well, a listener who has had us all talking over the last couple of weeks is Nadia.
Oh, yeah. Hi,
and she's
Nadia.
Back, everyone. She says, hi, guys. As requested, here is the next Dragon update. Firstly, I just wanted to say a big thanks to all of those who reached out. I had no idea my little problem would cause such a response. I had heard of JC, but like Sean, I was under the impression that it merely provided a bridge between Jaws and Dragon. However, after everyone's kind advice, I thought the least I could do was get that confirmed. JC enables you to control your computer entirely by voice. It also echoes back your dictation so you can hear what Dragon heard and check it's accurate. Brilliant, I hear you cry. But sadly, no. The problem with context errors, or homophones, as I've now learned they are called, is that they're all pronounced the same, so I've still no way of knowing which there or where Dragon has chosen. J-Dictate works along similar lines, except that it's used merely for dictation rather than controlling your entire computer. Regarding the suggestion I use spell mode in Dragon, that can work if it's not common word, but imagine having to stop and spell the word there every time. Think how often you use it. Any flaw would be lost. What I need is something that can either let me know when Dragon makes a mistake as I'm writing or when I'm reading back so I can correct mistakes as and when I see them, rather than having to search for them all the time. But that particular solution, it seems, doesn't exist. Fortunately, I have a very understanding publisher who is also my editor, and between the two of us, we managed to find Dragon's mistakes, and to judge from reviews I've had, we're doing a good job. I can only hope that when I'm eventually forced to replace my laptop, Dragon will have improved considerably. Meanwhile, it's on with the next book, and thank you so much for your help. From Nadia.
Well, good luck to you, Nadia. I hope you can sort this out for yourself. And yeah, we will, you know, if anyone has any more advice to give, I think it'd be so important. Any of you guys want to add anything to that?
I really don't know if there is an answer to it. It just sounds like the technology isn't capable of making that distinction. And it's all about trying to find a workaround for that. And I don't think there is. As you said, using the grammar checker and spell checker in something like Word is fine, but it's so time consuming. So, yeah, I do not know of anything that can do this, get the answer to this. It's a shame.
It is a shame, and unfortunately, I think that is the case, that you can just do the best you can in dictating it and hope for the best, and then, yeah, do the spell check, the grammar check, rely on someone who can visually edit through and take a look at it and make sure that it's correct. And I think, really, unfortunately, at this time in you know, in this type of technology, that's the best you can do. Hopefully, there's something better that comes out down the line, but right now this might be the best thing you can.
You know, look, from Nadia's point of view, she's writing books, she's writing, you know, serious stuff. I must admit, since I've started using JAWS, I found that my spelling has gone down the pan.
Yes.
I found that my emails, my punctuation, all my writing that I used to take a lot of pride in, all that's just fallen away because I don't get the same point of reference by listening to it. I can think it's right. I mean, my classic was sending an email to someone and it had the word handle in it. And of course, JAWS pronounced it as handle, but it was H-A-N-D-E-L, not L-E. That's a small... and of course, it didn't pick it up in the spell check either because it thought it was fine. So you have those little things that happen and you just don't feel quite in control of your own information anymore. And, you know, it can be as small a problem as an email right up to, you know, a book. But no, I do feel for you on that one, Nadia, because, you know, from my point of view as an idiot, I do my best with this stuff, but I feel that sometimes I'm kind of falling away from the basics and I don't like it. Okay, thank you for your email, Nadia. Hopefully we'll either get a solution to it or maybe some kind of workaround at some point, but it's not looking hugely promising. What else have you got, Chris?
Well, I like this email. You guys might not. I'm just pre-warning you. Okay. This is from Riz. And it says,
Hi,
Stephen. I don't normally have trouble sleeping, but for those days, at least listening to the Apple section of your last podcast could be a solution. I would like to thank you very much. All joking aside, though, I was wondering, as the proper phone event is taking place on the 9th of October, would you like me to do a short recording giving details of what Google has to offer? Mm-hmm. Or would you like to do it a different way? It would be interesting
like
to
compare... Like not at all?
It will be a short recording.
Riz is coming back at you guys.
It's on.
It would be interesting to compare notes, though, because I hope Google does a much better showing than they did last year. The big question is, will I be tempted by the new Pixel? Also, there are rumours of a new Chromecast and perhaps even a Google Watch. I was a little saddened when I heard that you had put your name down on a pre-order on one of those new iPhones.
That's me then.
Was hoping that you would buy a Google Pixel with me. Oh well, never mind. Take care, Riz.
Yeah, sorry, Riz. I did jump in a little bit. I was going to wait for the October event, but hey, I couldn't even wait for the iPhone XR. So, you know, I wasn't going to hang around for Google to launch some products. I actually am quite interested in this Google event. I'm not saying I wouldn't buy a Google Pixel, because actually, if you're going to buy an Android phone, that's probably the one you want, because from a software point of view, you'll get the most up-to-date and the most regular updates to it, unlike the others, which generally kind of hang around whatever operating system you get for some period of time. So if you like the software and you like sort of raw Android, then you know you would probably do quite well with a Google Pixel. Are you guys looking forward to the event? Because we're going to do a show on it. We are, of course. And Riz, you're more than welcome to be on the show. So you know, never mind recording. Just come on the show, and we'll talk. Because I'd be keen to know what Riz thinks. What are you guys thinking?
You know, I am looking forward to the Google event. Obviously, I'm not in the market for a Pixel phone, but I agree with you that if you are going to get into a Google product or Google phone, if you have the means, you know, if you're already looking at an iPhone, then there's no difference in real price with the Pixel line. So, yeah, I think the Pixels are the way to go. They are nice phones overall. And I'm interested to see what, if anything else, Google will come out with. Because like Riz said, last year was a bit subpar for the Google event, kind of like the Apple event was this year. Wasn't their best showing. Well, I mean, as far as the presentation goes, I'm excited about some of the products and things that they announced, but it just wasn't the best, you know, production quality that they've done in the past.
Blasphemy.
Give you a coronary. So hopefully Google's event is a little more exciting.
Okay.
Well, no, it's going to be great. Of course it is. They're all great. You know, it's all tech. And the Pixel range is the best of the Android lineup. So it's the one to go for. I'm going to be interested in the price point. Are we going to see, you know, the $1,000 above the $1,000?
Yes.
Are they going to jump in that as well?
Yes.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think that's the point, isn't it? As Apple push up their prices, everyone else is following them. I think it'd be quite nice if Google was to come out with a cheaper option. That would be
£50.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on that point, though, there is one thing that I am looking for. I haven't really followed the rumours too closely, but I would like to see what they do with the Google Home Mini and perhaps the Google Home itself. That's been out for a good few years now, and I'm wondering if a redesign is coming. As we'll be talking about Amazon later with their redesigns of their products. Will we see a new Google Home, maybe with a better speaker? I know the Google Max is now available in the UK, £400, I might add. But you know, if you maybe think about the Google Home, which actually doesn't have a bad speaker, the Google Home, even Google Home Mini's not got a bad speaker in it. Then maybe that's an option. I guess I'm looking at this more for the smart speaker than the phones and the other stuff.
Yeah, me too. And if they don't do anything, if they don't refresh those Google Home lines, they're going to fall further behind Amazon, especially with what Amazon just announced. So yeah, Google needs to update that whole line of Google Home devices, or it's just, yeah, there's not going to be much of a market for them anymore.
Yeah, well, whenever that event is, October 9th, so I don't even know when that is in the calendar, but the Tuesday afterwards, when we're on, we'll be talking about it. And the day after, we'll probably do what we did last time with the Apple event. And it's just great to talk technology, isn't it? It's just great fun.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we've got one more email from Chris.
Indeed. Our final email today comes from Rachel, who says, "Hello, Tech Talkers. Just wanted to thank you very much for helping out with the query from last week regarding installing iOS 12 on my SE. In the end, no doubt, like many others, curiosity got the better of me and I installed it on Tuesday evening, a few hours after you guys answered my question, in fact. As regards general performance, I have certainly noticed the phone responds significantly quicker than before, so Apple have done a great job there. I'm also liking the new Irish and South African voices, definitely worth checking out. I'm now using the new Irish male Siri voice as my default. And really love how natural he sounds. It makes a huge difference when listening to longer bits of text, such as emails. A lot of my friends who use VoiceOver have all agreed with me that he's a happy, jolly soul. Nice job, Apple. Thanks again for your reassurance. Really glad I updated and can stick with my beautiful SE for the time being. All the best from Rachel."
Hey, Rachel. Good for you. Yeah, stick with your SE
good to hear.
As much as possible. All I'm going to say is I have an SE that I use for work, and I've got my iPhone XS now. And I kind of like the SE. And that's all I'm saying.
Kind of like, I was talking to you while you was on your way to pick up your brand new phone, and you were saying, you know what, I'm loving the SE, I'm not sure I'm doing the right thing.
I honestly wonder if I've made a mistake, and I'm going to talk about that maybe later if we get to it. If not, I'll tell you about that next week. I think I maybe need another week just to get used to this phone.
Yeah.
Because I've never used, I never had the 10, and this is my first experience in that full screen without the home button. At the moment, it's a bit frustrating. So I'm going
That's an understatement. Sean and I know for a fact that's an understatement.
Okay, it's more than frustrating. In fact, it's just annoying, quite frankly, at the moment. But we'll get to that a bit later if we've got time. If not, as I say, I'll talk about it next week with a bit more education on it, because I do want to spend a bit more time with this before I decide whether or not it stays or goes. We need the EastEnders thing. Doof, doof, doof.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Where did that go? Right. Okay, Chris, thank you for coming in.
Most welcome. I'll speak to you again next week, chaps.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Now, that's the emails, but actually there's one more email that we got from Andy Bailey, who got in touch with us, but he sent in an audio clip, and I think this is going to set up our discussion nicely on Amazon. So let's play that in.
Hi, guys. Our favourite web store dropped some products and updated some products at the tail end of last week, and they did it without fanfare. But before I comment on that, Stephen, I'm quite surprised you weren't more excited, or at least excited enough to mention that the iPhone XS and the XS Max, don't like that name, have dual SIM capability. You surprised me that you didn't bring that up. Anyway, so I thought I'd give you the rundown of these to save your eyes, Stephen, and so Sean can have a snack and Tim can decide what his next impression is going to be. I do like the Kermit one, though. So first off, they've launched their own smart plug, $24.99. Same price point as the TP-Link ones. Now, they integrate really, really well with things like IFTTT, if this, then that. And I've been using that to set up and automate a few things that I can't be bothered to do manually or shout to get done. So that'd be interesting to see how good they are. Also, the Echo Show has had a refresh, $299.99. Comes with a Philips Hue bulb, as it's got the smart bridge built into it. So they kind of a reasonable deal there with that. It's now got a 10-inch screen, 5-megapixel camera. And interestingly, it says Skype coming soon. So let's hope that that's accessible. They're also covering it in fabric, so that's charcoal, sandstone, or heather grey, whoever she is. Also, the Echo Bigger, as Stephen would probably call it, which is the Echo Plus, which also has the bridge in it and comes with a Philips Hue bulb. That's $139.99. That's had a refresh. Dolby Play. It says also that there will be an equalizer in the Lady A app, so that you can adjust the sound that you're getting from the speaker. That's quite a step forward as well, I think. The Echo Dot is now third gen. The second gen is still available. It's £10 cheaper than it was, so $39.99. The third gen is $49.99, so staying at the same price point. They've covered that in fabric too. This seems to be a theme. It's still got the audio output available, which is a great thing, so the key thing for me on this one, though, is that it says improved sound quality, and that's a big thing. Next to a direct comparison, next to the Google Home Mini, it doesn't fare hugely well, in my opinion. So I'm interested to see how they've made that sound now. And then finally, the biggest one for me is the announcement of the Echo Sub. So it's a 6-inch sub, not a sandwich. Sean, before you get excited, 6-inch sub, 100 watt, to give you more room filling sound. You can pair it with an Echo Big or an Echo Bigger. That's for you, Stephen. And the best thing about this one for me, though, is you can use 2 Echo Bigs or 2 Echo Biggers and have stereo sound. Now, that really would fill a room nicely. So for the sake of £280, or at the moment it's on offer for £220, the sub on its own is £199.99. So it is quite a good deal. You can have a stereo setup, wireless, voice controlled. You'd be hard pushed to get a decent stereo system to fill a good sized room for that money, I think, to be honest. So I think it's kind of got what you need there. As Sean says, a lot more people are streaming these days, so that pretty much covers it all. All of these are available from the 11th of October, and you can pre-order them now.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Andy. I think you managed to have a pop at all of us individually, which was rather nice. I have to say, I really appreciate that the world is coming around to my naming convention for the Echo devices.
Not the world.
Just Andy, at least.
That's good enough for me. Yeah, I mean, so Andy picks up on all the audio devices that came out, which, of course, the new Echo Plus, which is, I think, looking at the pictures, the best I can sense is it looks like it's a bit fatter than the previous one. And, of course, the Echo Dot looks like it's put a bit of weight on as well. It's basically, you know, following my life.
She just accused Lady A of putting on a little weight.
I'm fat-shaming Lady A. Yeah. Well, Lady A has put on a little bit, but, you know, that's the way it goes. That's life. She's getting older. Probably married. Happy. So, you've got the Echo Dot, which has got that fabric thing, as Andy was saying, and of course you've got the Echo Plus now, the Echo Sub, which, you know, and detail all of that, as Andy did so eloquently, better than I could. You know, he's kind of really laid that out. Thank you for doing that. But there is one other thing. Well, like, there's more than one, but there's one particular thing which came out, which I know our Sean is very, very excited about. And I think it's fair to say Tim is too, but Sean, what is it we're talking about here?
It is, of course, the Echo Microwave. Oh, hallelujah. Ding. This sounds amazing. Of course, we've got access to accessible microwaves now. We've got talking microwaves, and they're great, and they're fine.
Cost a lot of money.
Yes, exactly. They're not the cheapest, and this...
I bought one about 3 days before this thing came out.
You're continuing your shopping jackpot there with your inaccessible TV, and now you bought this. But let me just say, there's no word on when this is going to be made available in the UK. Mm. In the US, I think it's November, December, so we don't know yet. But this is an Amazon Basics microwave. So it's only a small 700-watt microwave, but it's £60. Now, how this works, though, it hasn't got a Lady A built in. It actually connects to an existing one. So you need a Dot or an Echo or a Plus. You need to own one of them already. And then that is what you use to control that microwave. Sounds a little bit strange, but it's demonstrating the new technology that Amazon have made of being able to control and link just consumer devices like, or white goods almost, like the microwave and cookers and washing machines, being able to link it to your Echoes. It's going to be great. You can put something in and say something. In the demo, they said, one baked potato. Mm-hmm. And it came back and found how long that needed and started cooking it for 6 minutes. You can say things like, you know, add 30 seconds or just say 3 minutes, high power 3 minutes. And it does it. Sounds great for us.
Now, I must say, I know that we had been having sort of endless discussions about this since it was all announced, and I know that Tim, like me, you were a bit concerned when they said it didn't have Lady A built in, which meant it didn't have a speaker built into it. But of course, now we're learning that it works with the companion Echo Medium or Echo Big, and that's all good. So, you know, actually, it is going to be accessible to us.
Yeah, it is going to be accessible to us using your Lady A technology with your Echo or Dot or whatever it is, or your bigger, you know, whatever.
What have I done?
I was a bit dismayed about this when I first heard about it, because I'm like, okay, I can talk to it, but it won't talk back to me to tell me what's going on or to give me information or feedback. Yeah. That's really kind of stupid. I'll spend the extra, you know, money. I think it's another maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 pounds or dollars to get the GE one that has the barcode scanner and Alexa built. I said it. The Lady A built in. Damn. How dare I? For the GE one that has it built in with the barcode scanner, I'll just spend the extra money. And then we realize that this actually will work with your existing devices. And that is nicer. Now, it doesn't have the barcode scanner like the GE one does.
Pointless.
But... You say that, but I think it would be quite handy. But anyway.
And that's not available in the UK yet.
And that is not yet either. So neither of these products are available in the UK as of yet. Hopefully they will be soon. I know that even in the US, they're not available until closer to the holidays. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But it is nice to see that this is something that is being put out, not just by Amazon, but other mainstream companies, and making these type of white goods accessible to us through Alexa. This is something we've been waiting for and kind of seeing teased.
Every time you say it, I'm going to do this. just to alert people to...
Totally off my game today. I usually don't say it. I can't believe I'm saying it so much. Anyway, yeah, so it is nice to see that through the Lady A technology that we are getting this almost accidental accessibility in a way, but it is nice to see.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It kind of is. I mean, well, this is one occasion, and I think the Echo is classic for this, that it's one of those things that came along built for everybody, but for blind people, it's got huge benefits. And because, quite simply, you just talk to it. I mean, yes, there is the Echo Show, which has got the screen, and that's great if you've got some sight and you can see it. And I do believe it's got Voice View built in, which is the screen reader.
It has.
It does.
Yeah.
I don't really know how... I mean, it's okay, it's in there. How practical is that, you know, on a day-to-day? But, you know, you can just shout at your dot and get the information that way, and that's all good. I think this is quite interesting that they're doing this. They're not, what they're essentially saying here, and this is what I've been reading, is that they want to just show what devices can do,
yes,
with Lady A built in. So it's not really that they're out to start selling microwaves and white goods. They're just trying to showcase to companies, look, your device could do this as well, just with adding this little chip. And I think that was actually what they were selling really to companies, was saying, look, if you buy this little chip thing, little processor board, stick it inside your product. I mean, I assume it's more than just sort of open up the back of your washing
throw
machine
it in.
Throw it in and, oh, suddenly it speaks. But, you know, I think the idea is, if manufacturers start to build this into their products, then, you know, we can talk to our dishwasher and our microwave and our whatever else, and that's all good. The one that confuses the heck out of me, though, is the clock. They've brought out a clock, which apparently, same thing. I was reading this last night almost in disbelief, that they are bringing out the clock, same as the microwave, but the purpose is that the clock itself doesn't have Lady A built in. You just, it connects to an Echo Dot or whatever. And you think, what on earth is the point of that? I don't get it, to be honest. But because if you want to shout and ask at the time, well, you could just shout at the dot and ask at the time and take the clock out of the equation.
But it isn't. There's nothing smart about it.
No.
It's just connected to. It connects to your existing Echo device, and it sets itself, sets the time. It's just a visual representation. And the only thing I can see that it's for is that it will have an LED ring on it, which will show you the process, the progress of your timer. So if you've got a timer set, it actually visually, you'll see how long's left. It's almost like the countdown clock, I think.
Terrible.
So,
terrible.
You know, it's just, yes, it is pretty pointless. But I think, again, it is just to showcase the connectivity options they're trying to introduce with the smart speaker system being able to control anything.
That's built for the seeing eye mob. That's not
Yeah,
for us.
Exactly. Boo!
Yeah. Right, what else, Sean? Because I know you were excited on pretty much everything that came out.
Well, I've got to say, Andy almost covered everything. I've pre-ordered the Dot because I think that the problem I have with the Dot, I think it's a great device. It's you know, the price point, it's the right budget for me anyway. I've got a few of them all around the house. But the sound quality isn't great. It's probably the same as your mobile phone. And when you compare it to the Google Home Mini, it's absolutely terrible. So they've addressed that. And in fact, it does look a lot like the Google Home Mini now. They've rounded it off, covered it in fabric.
Put weight on.
Well, exactly. They boosted the speaker on it. So I pre-ordered that because I think that's going to be great. That is one of the issues I've had, was the audio quality was terrible. But for me, it's the software, the upgrades to the actual Lady A service, I think are really exciting. The stereo option of being able to put two together, not just, you know, the musical groups that they had before where you could play in the kitchen or the bathroom. You can have two, and one will act as a left channel and one will act as the right channel. That is really good. I think that's going to make a big difference. The sub, so you can almost make your own system now bit by bit. Another great move. They're going to make it far more conversational. Again, Google is far better at that. You ask Google a question and it's so quick to getting back to you, and it seems to have just more personality. And that's something that the Lady A is lacking. So all these things together, they're actually going to bring in that follow-on service, which I've been waiting for so long. So you don't have to keep saying, Lady A, Lady A, Lady A. You can just ask one question and then continue asking questions. So I think they're really going to up their game on that. And the actual service itself, doesn't matter what device you got, is going to get a lot better.
Mm.
Yeah, I have to agree with everything Sean said there. That
of course.
I'm excited.
Hang on. Whoa. You just agreed with Sean Preece?
Yes, as much as it pains me to do so, I agreed with every single
You're
thing
right,
he
Tim.
Said.
You're feeling okay? Maybe you need to sit down.
It's been a rough few days. Yeah, I guess I'm not doing well. I need to go back to the hospital. I think of all the things Sean just mentioned, the Echo Dot really intrigues me because he's right. The quality of the audio now, it's okay, it's passable, but it's not dreadful. Well, but it's not something you're going to want to listen to a lot of music on and really use as an entertainment device to ask simple questions.
But we are not. But there are people who buy this. And a lot of my friends have said to me, I bought one of these because I heard you rabbiting about it on the show. It sounds great. So I bought one. As if it's my fault they went out and spent their own cash. But, they buy this thing and they say, it sounds terrible.
Well, and that's true compared to the regular Echo and the Plus. It is terrible comparatively. And they say that the new one now, the third generation, will have 70% more volume to it. It's supposed to have a richer sound. And with the equalizing feature, I'm intrigued by that. I'm really interested. I'm going to let Sean be the test case on this. When he gets his, I can't wait to find out what it really sounds like. Because if it's as good as they're touting it to be and that much better than the previous generations, I almost may not really be so interested in getting just the regular size or the Plus, really, to fill my house with. I mean, I'll have one maybe in maybe a main living room, or if I get two for the stereo and the sub kind of feature. But otherwise, for just having satellite ones around the house, if the Dot Series 3 or Generation 3 is that much better, truly, I'm intrigued by that. I'm really hoping that it is that much better. Now, as far as, like I just mentioned, the stereo and the sub and all that, I think that's overdue. That's about time. And I'm happy that they've done that, especially with that sub that does make a lesser expensive feature for having an entertainment system in your living room. And the updates to the software, I'm really excited about. Now, most of those aren't available yet either, but it is going to be more conversational. They're actually talking about doing, I don't know what they called it now, but it, like a motion detection. So if you sound kind of dismayed or happy or sad or whatever, Lady A is going to detect that. I'm not sure how I feel about that one, but it'll be interesting to see how they implement it. What I was really, as far as software-wise goes, was the most excited about was this Amazon Guard feature, where not only can you put on, say, randomized lightings, if you're gone and you have your lights hooked up, it'll randomize your lights on and off so it looks like you're home. And it also has two features that I'm interested in, which is a glass detection and smoke or CO2 detector detection. So if it detects that glass is broken in your house, implying that someone's broken in, it will send you an alert on your iPhone to say, or your smartphone to say, hey, by the way, we've detected the sound. It'll send a clip of that audio so that you know what it sounded like, what it was. And if your smoke alarm or CO2 detector goes off, it will be notified of that as well and tell you on your smartphone. I really like that type of functionality in the Amazon Echo.
Yeah, I love the sound of this. Now, I'm not quite sure. This isn't extra hardware. This isn't a device itself. This is just a feature, is it?
Yeah, it's a built-in feature that'll be coming into the Echoes, I think, later this year.
So it seems like a real sort of low-tech way to do it. It's not connected to any external detectors, smoke detectors or anything like that, or any external alarms. All it's doing is using that microphone to listen out. And if it hears what it thinks is the sound of breaking glass or the beep of your smoke alarm, it will let you know. It's a real clever way to do it, if it works.
Yeah, it is a real clever way to do it, and hopefully it will work. They said they've recorded, I don't know how many thousands of different glass breaking sounds, and they've broken a lot of glass and recorded them and the smoke detectors and things. So I think what it is that first level of the fence, that first chip in the Echo that detects or waits to hear the wake word. I think it's using that same idea to listen for those sounds. So similar to listening for the wake word, it's just listening for those sounds. When it hears one, then it passes it through to the rest of it to say, okay, this happened. Let's alert this person on their smartphone that this happened.
Terrible. Utterly awful. And I'll tell you why. Because
please
so,
do.
So I'm a visually impaired guy, and what I say next may make a lot of sense to you if you're visually impaired out there. I break a lot of glasses. Okay, I drop glasses a lot, more than the average human, I believe. And it is because I reach for them from the washing machine. The washing machine, that would be a mistake. From the dishwasher. And, you know, maybe I'll trip on something, or, you know, I'm pulling them out of the cupboard and they fall. I don't know how many bowls, how many glasses I've gone through.
Oh, don't live up to the stereotype, Stephen.
Yeah, well, now I'm going to have this Amazon Echo thing constantly shouting at me, saying, "You've broken something." I've already got someone in my house that does that. My wife, she tells me all the time. Well, so now I've got Lady A shouting at me as well.
But, Stephen, you don't have to have it turned on all the time to detect it.
That will be a good...
It's only on when you want it on, so if you're in bed sleeping or you've left the house. Just saying.
Okay, all right. Don't be sensible. Don't be sensible, Tim.
Yeah, it waits for the trigger to turn on that feature. You got to say, "Lady A, I'm leaving." And then it goes into that mode. It sounds great.
Don't stand on my blind story. Right, okay.
I've got to say, look, I thought the Amazon event was great. I love the way they do it. They just, you know, it's almost like ninjas. They just jump out of nowhere and say, "Here, we got all this amazing stuff for you." Of course, there were rumours of the microwave before that. But the other stuff and the updates, it was genuinely an exciting event. It's what Apple used to be when, you know, in the days of the iPods and the iPhones. It was just really exciting and interesting stuff that we didn't know about. I loved it.
Well, what was most fun about it, in my opinion, was the fact that you could tell that when they were talking to Lady A in any type of example or demonstration, it was a live conversation, not one of those yes. pre-recorded demos that they would do. Because I don't know how many times he would ask for Lady A to do something and it wouldn't do it or give it the wrong answer. And he finally would get it right because it was either the presenter not saying it right or just not detecting it. So it was like, oh, yeah, they're really doing that live. But it was funny. Yeah, I love that stuff.
There was an article I read and I just wanted to sort of put this out there for you guys to comment on, because there is a lot of conversation around cost at the minute of devices. I mean, Apple had their launch and the phones were £1,000 upwards. Pretty much all of the products now are that kind of price level, especially phones. The smart speaker from Apple is £320. You know, we're seeing other companies starting to bring out very expensive products, but it does seem that Amazon are trying to do the opposite. They're trying to put the technology in people's hands at a much lower price. Now, obviously, they are a massive company and they span multiple different brands and styles and stuff that they sell. And I think that's probably part of it. But I just wonder about all of this, because is it maybe, I'm not saying is it better, but is it a good thing that they're doing this, first of all? And the obvious answer to that is yes, but is it a good thing in the sense of the technology itself? Because are we getting the best? I talked before the event was happening. I said I would love to see a premium tablet from them, you know, a Fire tablet with lots of, you know, premium features, you know, almost iPad like because I actually think the Kindle, well, it's not called the Kindle, but the Fire tablet is very good. But I don't think we'll ever see that from Amazon. No. I don't think that's their style.
Well, I think it's the case with Amazon. I think they know their market. I mean, we've got Microsoft Surface, we've got the iPad. If you want the high end, even some of the Samsung tablets, the Android tablets, you've got the high end there covered. And I don't think Amazon are interested in that. Of course, when it comes to Amazon, they're interested in getting people to use whatever service there is. As you said, Stephen, they cover so many things now. But the main business is shopping, and whatever device they can get you on to do that easier, they will do. And if it means taking not making so much of a profit on the actual hardware, they're happy to do that. Let's not forget, they are the second company to hit $1 trillion. We made a big deal about Apple doing it, but Amazon have got there as well, and that's a huge deal. And the way they're doing that is mainly through everyone doing their online shopping. And if you've got to do that through a smart speaker, your phone app, or whatever, then they're happy to do that. And that's the market they're looking for. Now, to get back to the actual question you asked, sorry, I'm rambling on. Is this good for technology? Well, at the end of the day, it's us as the consumer that decides whether a technology is appropriate, is good, is worth it. You know, if the technology, no matter what the price point, if the technology isn't good or isn't useful, then we won't buy it. Just think back to the Amazon Fire Phone. They could have put that out at £1 and still people didn't want it. Now, maybe that's not purely down to the technology. There's, you know, Apple and Android being so popular. There's those factors as well. But at the end of the day, if the technology isn't good enough, no matter what the price point, we won't buy it. So I think Amazon have got it just right at the moment.
Yeah, and I think Amazon has even gone on record in time saying that they're okay even taking a loss on certain things with their marketplace online because they want to keep those prices down. They want to be better than everybody else and be competitive, and they will make up that money in other services and other devices. If you search for Amazon Basics hardware, you know, on their website, they make so many different products that you wouldn't even believe that they make. Like, really? Amazon makes one of those? And so I think that they've got themselves set up to be in so many different, not just hardware and technology, but just different things. You know, they've got food now and delivery services and restaurant services and things like that that they do. So yeah, I think that they're willing to take a loss in some areas to make money in others. And that is their market. Like Sean said, it is their market to put out something that's less expensive, that still does the job, does it well, may not be, you know, some of their speakers may not be as good as, say, a Sonos speaker or other, you know, assistive speakers, but their technology is there and they're selling that technology, as we've talked about, in so many different white goods and other products. They can make tons of money there. That's easy profit. Just say, here, buy our chip, put it in your hardware, and they make pure profit off of that. So I'm happy about it. I think that it is good that they keep trying to drive down prices as as Apple and other companies go higher, they keep staying low or going lower. And I think it's a good thing for the market.
It's an interesting comparison, actually, because when you think about it, you would never, ever see Apple. Maybe not never, but at the moment, you would never see Apple allow another manufacturer to put Siri into their product. And, you know, if that comes, you know, that tells me that Apple are going a very different direction, but it certainly doesn't seem to be that case. What they want to do is, you know, get the most out of their customers as possible. I do wonder about price on that scale, because how far does it go? You know, it's one thing with Amazon, they've brought the prices down, which means they can put the prices up down the line. How far can Apple go, though, with the cost of, you know, iPhones being £1,000 upwards? The phone I got, I think, works out at £1,350. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Wow. Yes, it is.
And that's incredible. You know, and you think, how far can you go? How far can you rinse your customers dry before they go, do you know what? I'm really not having this. And who's combating that?
Yeah, who is Well, I mean, the argument in the smartphone case would be Android is the way to go. But I don't know. I mean, it's very much Apple aren't interested in that. Apple almost, as a lot of people say, a brand, and it's almost like, you know, a designer brand, and people expect to pay more. And the thing for me, you know, you mentioned earlier about, is this a good thing? To me, it comes down, how much do these things cost to actually produce and make? And then how much is added on top of that? It all gets a bit, you know, into, is that morally right? And I don't know about that. But for me, Apple knows what they're doing. I think there will be a point where people say, you know what, that's a step too far. I'm just surprised we haven't hit that yet with this iPhone X.
Yeah, with last year's iPhone X, I think they were testing the waters with that to see what would people be willing to pay. Google followed that up immediately a month or so later and matched basically the same price. I expect they'll probably do the same thing here in a month or so with the new Pixels. But yeah, there's going to be a breaking point. There's going to be a point, and I think personally we're there, at least for my pocketbook, we're there.
Yes.
I think that's why I'm looking at, if I do upgrade, it's the 10R or just going back to the 8, because I just can't make myself go to that higher price. And I think a lot of people are going to be in that situation where they're willing to pay for the 10, they might be willing to pay for the 10S and Max with these prices, but that's it. I really can't see going much higher than that.
Well, did you see Tim Cook's interview recently where he justified the pricing by saying, you know, these aren't just phones. We do everything on these. And when you break it down, the majority of people get these on contract. And if you break it down, you're talking a dollar something a month. And he's a day, sorry. You're paying a dollar something a day. And for that, the amount of use that you get from it and the amount of things it can do, it's great value for money. Thinking, well, yeah, I suppose when you break it down like that, it is. But
well, he would say that.
Exactly. But then when you think about it, it's still £1,300 for a phone.
I know.
It's just so hard to swallow. But as Tim said, that was tested with the iPhone X, the first one, and people said, yeah, okay, bring it on.
Yeah, someone said to me the other day, you know, you wouldn't walk around a city centre with £500 cash in your pocket, but we will all walk around happily with phones of upwards of £1,000 in value in our pockets. And I thought that was an interesting spin on it. Anyway, let's just briefly talk about Apple, because the Apple new phones, iPhone XS came out. I got my XS. The thing that's annoying me most about it is the swiping gesture from the bottom to get to the home screen or to get to your app switcher. I find it a bit fiddly. I'm not there with it yet. I mean, I can't... You know, we all do this thing when you're blind, and I guess when you're sighted to some degree as well, you get to familiarise yourself to a way that you would say, well, if I swipe this far, this will happen. If I swipe this far, then this will happen. And that's essentially how this all works. Yeah. You have a swipe almost halfway up the screen to get you back to the home screen, and you've got to swipe almost three quarters of the way to get you to the app switcher. I have to say, it's very hit and miss. Finding the edge, I mean, going from the edge to the, you know, I get this strange thing on my lock screen that keeps saying heading not found. I have no idea what that is. VoiceOver keeps telling me heading not found, and that's me on the lock screen. So I don't know what it thinks it's doing. I think there are a few VoiceOver bugs in it at the moment, and that will no doubt be resolved over time. I'm sure if we all check out Apple Viz, we'll see lots of reports, and we should absolutely report them. It's okay, if I'm honest, as good as a phone. I feel, in a way, it's a bit over the top for what I need, because, you know, it's a lovely phone, but it's got a stunningly good screen. It's got a beautiful camera. I don't feel like I really benefit from a lot of that. So do I really need it, truthfully? And I'll tell you, the reason I got it, my decision was kind of made because I wanted a smaller phone, and the XR is slightly bigger than this, and the obviously the XS Max is bigger again. So, you know, I kind of took the decision on, well, this is the one I'll go for. I don't know. I miss the home button already. I kind of pine for it. I pine for the home button more than I pine for the headphone jack. And the iPhone SE has both.
Take it back. I've got to say, look, yes, I could totally understand that. Just describing the gesture for getting to the, what is it, the control center? No, the app switcher, and get to the home screen. It just sounds so fiddly. And a lot of people have said that. But the people I've spoken to that have had the iPhone X for a while say it's just something you get used to. And I can totally understand that as well. For the first three or four days of getting the original iPhone, or the 4S when I jumped on, you know, just any gesture was, oh, this seems so fiddly. And now it's second nature. So early days, I would say, Stephen, stick with it.
I would say don't give up quite yet. Give it some time. Keep practicing, because it almost sounds like maybe you're flicking instead of sliding. If you're getting a heading not found, I think that's more, it thinks you're flicking up and down trying to find a heading.
Stephen, stop flicking.
Yeah, don't flick. You have to actually push your finger, slide your finger. But yeah, the first time I tried it on my cousin's iPhone 10, it took me several tries. And even then I was like, okay, I think I'm getting this, but it's just getting the feel for it. And I think once you get it and you realize those spots on the phone, those sweet spots, I think it will work much better. But yeah, it is just that learning curve, unfortunately.
I will say one word on the Apple Watch. Brilliant.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Well, I've got to say, this has been impressive. There are a couple of bugs along the way. I think this is more in the software, though. Tim and I have both noticed this on ours on WatchOS 5. When you swipe up two fingers from the bottom on the Apple Watch, you get the control center. Nothing works in there. That's helpful. You can't put mute on. You can't put on do not disturb. Everything seems to be... It says off, you know, switch button off, for example, and then you double tap on it, just says switch button off. So I think it must be a voiceover problem, because I'm sure it works without it.
It does. I tried it, yeah.
Right, okay, so that's that. So it is definitely a bug with VoiceOver. That will be rectified soon enough, I'm sure. But, you know, other than that, you know, using it, I have to say the speed of it is good with VoiceOver. It's brilliant. It's finally where I would want it to be. I remember when I used the Series 1, I just lost interest, and I think I sold it quite quickly afterwards, because I thought, this is just not working for me. It was too slow, too laggy. The Series 3 was good. Certainly closer to it, but my issue was I bought the smaller one, and I am so glad I've made the decision to get the bigger screen, because even though it has screen curtain on, and again, it's a waste of a beautiful screen, but you know, hey, that's life. I am getting so much more out of this, I am really enjoying using it.
So would that be the Apple Watch Series Big?
Series Big, yes. Apple Watch Series 4 Big.
Don't encourage him, Tim.
I know.
The one question I want to ask is how you two find in the walkie-talkie feature, because that intrigues me.
Once we figured it out, I don't think it's too bad, right, Stephen?
Yeah, they've got a lovely feature in there, which I immediately switched on because it was under accessibility, called Tap to Talk, where you just tap once on the screen and it will, you know, activate the talk button. And I thought, this is amazing. This will be great. Although after a couple of tries and it not working, I came to the conclusion that it was terrible, awful, and that was it. The watch was going back. But then Tim had tried out. Tim has far more patience than me, clearly. And he tried out, and we came to the conclusion that basically Tap to Talk is a great feature if you're not using VoiceOver. It's not a VoiceOver-related feature. It's for people who maybe have mobility or dexterity problems. And, you know, that would be a great function for them. However, what I have found is if you navigate to the Talk button and double tap with one finger, it does work with two as well, the old magic tap, but with one finger double tap and, you know, I can communicate back and forward. It puts the button on and locks it, and then I double tap once again with one finger and it releases it. And then we just have a nice conversation, and it's been working quite well, Tim.
Yeah, it has been working really well, and I'm liking the idea that magic tap works. Not sure who recommended for us to try that part out. I don't know who that was.
That's okay.
Anyway. But
it's fine.
but no, yeah, the magic tap works really nicely and the talk button works nicely. And once you get in there and have that, you know, have it activated and everything, it works really nice. The only issue I have with it is I wish there would be a disconnect button, because when you're finished with the conversation, sometimes it kind of lingers thinking that you're still going to maybe keep using walkie-talkie. And because it's using FaceTime in a way in the background, it thinks it's a phone call. So if you go back to your phone and try to make a phone call or a FaceTime call or a WhatsApp message or something like that, it won't let you until it's disconnected the walkie-talkie because it thinks it's on the phone. So I wish there was a way to more quickly disconnect walkie-talkie. Other than that, once we figured out how to use that button without that tap to talk feature turned on, because mine was on somehow by default, it really works nicely.
So turn off tap to talk, walkie-talkie works really well. We'll get into lots more. And, you know, there are so many things we could talk about with this watch. I mean, there are so many lovely features and functions. But you know what, Apple? Fix the control center first, and then we'll talk. That's where we are. Yeah, no, that's just, to me, that's ridiculous. That's an oversight, but it is
frustrating.
That is a big oversight, isn't it? For none of it to be working with VoiceOver enabled, that's terrible.
And for a guy who works in a radio studio who can't mute his watch, it's not the best, is it? Listen, that's it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the podcast in all the places you get podcasts. Don't forget you can email as well, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Thank you so much for all your emails this week, especially to Andy, who gets the prize, although there isn't one, for emailing in with that wonderful wrap-up of what happened with Amazon. Tim and Sean, as always, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time on Tech Talk. Bye.